the Purpose Driven Mother Podcast, show number 3. What's going on, Radiant Mothers? I am Alicia Askew, host of the Purpose Driven Mothers Podcast, where mothers are having the conversation not about trying to be the perfect mother, but embracing the woman who they are. Hear from the most courageous and inspiring mothers who share their story on how they went beyond the apron, discovered their purpose, and are achieving their greatest desires. Peeling off the layers of their most vulnerable moments and lessons learned, these mothers have found the drive that they need to help them thrive on their purpose-driven journey. So stay tuned and learn how you can become that purpose-driven mother. All right, Radiant Mothers, I am super excited about our special guest today because she understands all too well what it's like to change careers, take big risks, and drive blindly into the unknown. She spent 10 years as a television reporter and anchor before she realized it wasn't what she was meant to be. When it got to the point where she couldn't live another day merely existing, she boldly stepped out of her comfort zone and financial safety net to follow her dreams and passion within her. Today, she is a published author, passion shift coach, and speaker, guiding writers and artists and entertainers to a place within where they can uncover and discover who and what they are truly meant to be and do while profiting handsomely from their deepest desires. And I can really resonate with coming to that point in life where you could not take another day of just merely existing and having to take that big risk, that big jump to go after what you truly feel is right for you. So let's get this show started. Thank you so much, Jolene. It is such a pleasure to have you on the show today. Now, you have such an amazing background, and I know the listeners are just wanting to hear more about your journey and who you are and how you came to the place that you are today. So can you share with us a little about your background and what this passion shift is all about?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I did spend 10 years as a television reporter and an anchor. And I thought that's what I wanted to do. But every year, as I got more and more into the work I was doing, I wasn't really in love with what I was doing. And it confused me because when I talked to people about it, they would say, how can you not love it? Oh, my God, you're a TV reporter. Oh, my God, you're on TV, you know, and they saw all of this glamour. And it was, sure, it was nice, but it didn't fill me that way. You know, I liked the writing. I loved doing live shots. So, like, when you see the reporter on the street and you see the photographer in the truck and all that, I loved doing that. But beyond it, I was very unfulfilled. And the reason I was unfulfilled is because my soul had not yet merged with my purpose. But, I was just kind of exploring. And so what I began to realize is that's pretty much how we move through our lives and with our different jobs and careers and passions and talents. Mm-hmm. If we're choosing a paradigm that brings us to a place where we want to feel whole and loved and happy, we'll allow ourselves permission to explore. But I think a lot of us, we become very angst because we don't know what it is that we want to do. We're not sure what passion it is we want to follow. And it just starts with giving yourself permission to figure it out, really.
I completely agree with that. I often hear a lot of people say when they're trying to answer the question about finding your passion, well, what would be the first thing that you do when you roll out of bed and you didn't have anything else, you know, planned for the day? What would be that thing? And for some people, it's easy for them to say, oh, yeah, I have a skill or a talent that, you know, is inside of me that I know that would lead me to my purpose. So that would be an easy question. But what about for the people who don't really have that skill developed or, you know, certain gifts or anything? Because that's how it was for me. When I heard that, I was like, well, I don't just have, like, a special, special skill that I can point off the top of my head that would lead me to my passion or my purpose. So it actually does, like you said, require you to give yourself permission to explore just different things, what you have an interest in, where that curiosity kind of leads you.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever talked to a college student, and maybe this was you, I know it was me, and they're 2 or 3 years into school, and you ask them what their major is, and they say, well, it was blah, 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 but now it's blah, blah, blah. And it could be something completely different. I had a friend that went from pre-med to theater, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, wow. Well, you know, I know, quite the transition. It's just, I think that was a minor that she had, theater, and then she mm-hmm. made it her major. But, yeah, so, I mean, we don't always know, and I know that a lot of us want a quick way or a tool that we can use that can get us closer to what it is. But even mm-hmm. those of us that, quote, know what it is, it's ever-evolving, you know?
Right.
So it really is about exploration. Sadly, our current culture allows us to believe that we have to figure it out, we have to figure it out quickly, and it has to be really big and really bold so I can be admired by the world. You know what I mean? So when we decide to forge our own paths and create our own lives and create our own work and follow what our heart is or continue to figure it out, that actually makes people feel uncomfortable because it's not a traditional line of thinking.
Right. That is so very true that you had pointed out right there. And you are kind of still evolving yourself because I had seen one of your posts on Facebook about wanting to do a week producer role.
Oh, that was a contest that I was in.
Oh.
Yeah, that was because I think we connected after I started that. But basically, aside from being a coach, basically I teach entrepreneurs how to find or create speaking engagements that generate five-figure paydays. And I'm very successful with the work I do with my clients because what I enable them to do, Alicia, is to make a significant amount of money while still leaving space open for them to do what they love. And one of the things that I love to do, aside from the teaching that I do and the coaching and the speaking, is I love to write comedy. So I wrote a full-length stage play that actually had its grand opening, the world premiere right here in Syracuse, New York, where I am. And it was a Christmas comedy. And at the same time, I entered a contest to win basically a week on a sitcom in Los Angeles. So anything you saw through the feed was that I had gotten word that I wasn't chosen for that particular role. But this is great that you brought this up because that doesn't mean that that wasn't my path either.
Mm-hmm.
I'm poking around too. I'm exploring too. If I can write a stage play and make people laugh, I mean, for years, if you were to see my bookshelf right now, there's books on here from 1995 and 1997 that are still outdated, but it's all about writing and sitcom writing and comedy writing.
Right.
So for like me, it's really interesting. They're sitting right there, and I still didn't see it as a calling, you know?
Mm. That is so very true. So how did your eyes even open up to that?
I got slapped across the face with reality. It basically took, I went to a week-long retreat. I'm someone that has learned to pamper myself and give myself time. Mm-hmm. And I gave myself a week-long retreat at Kripalu in Massachusetts, which is this yoga and wellness center. And I never did any yoga. I've done yoga. I just went there for the week-long class, the course. And what I learned in the course was it basically reinforced, was a coaching intensive, reinforced mm-hmm. for me the importance of following an interest or a desire or a spark within.
Right.
And I was reminded of that there, and it was when, you know, my play was about to go up, a theater had chosen it. This was in October when I went, and the play went up in December. And I realized, I remembered all these books all of a sudden on my shelf and sitcom episodes that I had written in the past, all of these things, and I never saw it as something to pursue because I was also under the impression you could only pursue one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just really, our culture can be super critical about the choices we make as far as our career and our personal life. I'm simply an advocate or a reminder for people that want to explore their life in a way that they never imagined and have it be an abundant life too.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is what draws the fear for most people because sometimes the money is not there immediately. And mm-hmm. they have a family to support. They have the bills still coming in. So with our critical society and just our fears, how are we able to overcome that so that we can, you know, find that fulfillment that we desire and yearn?
You have to want it, and I mean you have to want it. Maybe you talk about it with a friend, but when push comes to shove, you have to be willing to do what most people won't do to get to where you want to go. When I started my business, I had no idea. I couldn't get a coaching client. I had this certification. I had this big desire. I was speaking. I was doing excellent. But I had no idea how to convert those people that were hearing me into possibly working with me one-on-one. No clue. I had made $13,000 that year. $13,000, that's it. I hired a coach, and I'll tell you, I'm a risk taker, and anybody that wants to make a significant amount of money and not work a lot and follow their passions, there's no BS when I tell you it's possible, but you have to be willing to do something different. So what I did is I made a very bold decision to invest in a coach when I had no money. I borrowed it. And then I said to my coach, you have to show me how to make this money back or I'm not going to be able to pay you. I basically tried to put the responsibility on him. My coach basically said to me, I'm going to show you how to make a lot of money, but you have to show up, meaning you have to take the action. You have to do what I teach you. And the problem, the issue is we're so eager to learn, but we're not as eager to implement because it requires us stepping into an uncomfortable space, doing things that most people won't. You know, I've talked to people that desperately want to shift their life, shift their income. I say, okay, great. I tell them what it looks like to work with me, and they get freaked out by the money. So they're not willing to invest in themselves. They put a price tag on their own self-worth, and it's minimal. You have to be willing to open doors wide open and do things that other people wouldn't be willing to do if you want to grow.
That is a very, very good point. And so with the economy, well, I know you said you borrowed it. But with the economy, a lot of people don't have money to borrow, or they may not have wealthy friends or people who have money. So what are some other creative ways of getting that money so that they can get the coach that they need?
You got to figure it out. It doesn't come out of the air. I mean, when I did it, I borrowed money from family, and then I produced $13,000 in 5 weeks. So the year before, I had made $13,000. And here I was because I borrowed money and I was hell-bent on paying it back and holding my space and integrity that the first 5 weeks that I worked with my coach and he taught me a compassionate way of closing, I generated $13,000. Mm-hmm. And then that year I generated $120,000. The bottom line, Alicia, is that if you want it bad enough, you'll find it. There's just no way around it. People will tell themselves stories until they're blue in the face. If you want it bad enough, you'll figure it out. Otherwise, you're just going to sit back, continue to tell yourself stories, or restrict yourself from investing, or investing just a little here or a little there. You show me someone that runs their own business that's making six figures or more, ask them what kind of money they spend. If they look at you and say, not very much, it's just not true. If you want to make it, you have to spend it. And if there's no secret way, you've got to figure it out. Do you get a credit card? Is there somebody that you can give it to? How do you make it work? Are you willing to risk to learn how to make the money so you can go out and then generate it and so forth? And my clients that are ready, that's what they'll do because they know they're going to learn exactly what it takes to fill a room, to engage with a really valuable one-on-one client, and to shift someone's life because in the end, that's what it's all about.
So you have pretty much already made it. So what does keep you motivated to keep going?
It's an ebb and flow, Alicia, honestly. I mean, there's days I'm completely unmotivated, I'll be honest with you. But I think the motivation to, quote, keep going, I don't think it's about that. I think it's about the willingness to show up in life like you never have before, the willingness to enjoy the day that you're existing in instead of projecting and wondering what it's going to be like tomorrow or in your future and really appreciating the journey. And I think a lot of us don't understand that. You know, when we jump into our first business or we start moving forward, and I was guilty of this, we take it for granted because we don't know what to expect. It's a lot of hard work. There's three things you're going to sacrifice. You're going to sacrifice yourself emotionally, physically, and financially.
these different things are going to happen to you. And you have to be prepared for it the best way you know how. Sometimes you hit the floor, sometimes you stand back up. It will always, always, always have an ebb and flow. The only thing I can say to somebody is, hey, get ready. Find something to hang on to. When the water's coming and it's about to blow you over, hang on to it, because this too shall pass. And then you'll be able to continue to move yourself forward. Every time you persevere through struggle like that, you're strengthening yourself so that when the waves come again, you're prepared.
Right. And that's very true, what you have said. I have been setting up my business ever since September of last year. But as soon as my business launched, it was like day after day, right and left, I was always coming across some major hurdle, some roadblock that was, you know, just trying to stop me. And so it's always like, okay, all I can do is laugh, because it's like once you get over one hurdle, there is another one right there. And so for, you know, looking at how far I've come so far with, you know, all of the adversity that I've had to face, a lot of people would have just been like, you know what, just forget it. It's too hard. You know, I have to think too much. I have to be too creative. I have to.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's it. They have to exert too much energy. You said it. They think too much. Mm-hmm. I have to be creative. I'll tell you, it takes a special kind of person to create their own life. It's not for everybody. You know, some of us, we have a sense of security in a job that's in a box, for example, in a conformed culture. That's what we're comfortable with. We'll get up, we'll go to work, we have money, we do whatever it is we need to do, and so on. And then there's people that, it's not that they're nonconformists at all, it's just that we, each of us, have been given free spirit and free reign of how we want to create our lives. So if we have that bravery in us to forge our own path, then we can certainly do that too. You know, and it's the only way I personally think that I would like to exist. I mean, I did the job in a box, and it was actually when I was a reporter. You know, I worked for a large, large corporation, a conglomerate, a cable conglomerate, and I worked in the news division. They had a whole on-air, live news division. And it was not living the dream. It wasn't glamorous. Even though people would tell me, Jolene, you're not looking at it the right way, I almost wanted to believe them. You know, I'll be like, well, maybe I can't see it. But
right.
The truth, I couldn't see it because it wasn't there. You know, so you have to really learn to trust your inner knowing. You know, we've talked about that. I call it frequency. So the passion that I have to write, the passion that I have to coach and speak, all of that is part of my creative self. It's part of who I am. And for years, I, you know, different voices, different limiting beliefs of different people, those frequencies of what they were saying would literally cross over mine and just cut it down so I couldn't hear it. So people out there that say, I don't know what it is that I want to do, there's a frequency within them that does. And really the work with them needs to be removing the voices that debilitated their talents to begin with. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay, I do want to go back to something that you had said. So as a reporter, you said that you enjoyed doing that, but was you honestly happy?
Of course not. I would have stayed.
Everyone always says, but you have to have the happiness within you. So why do they keep saying that if it really is about going after your passion? How can we pretend to be happy for something that we're not happy?
I think you just answered your own question, and that is if you're doing something that isn't filling you, you're not. No one should be pretending. If you've got to pretend to be happy, you need to really sit down and ask yourself why the hell you're doing that. That includes the relationships that you're in, the people you interact with. Every step you take and every move you make needs to be for the greater good. In other words, you're not going to be knocking over a bank to get to where you need to be. But sometimes that means letting certain people go, even in love and even gently. The passion within you, sometimes you don't know what it is. Sometimes you have to take a job you don't want to take. Sometimes that job was put in front of you so you could learn a piece of it so that when you move into the next one, you could learn the second piece there, and then you could step into your entrepreneurial world and have all of this knowledge with you. But, you know, it's it's about awareness and awakening and really learning how to decipher between voices that want to limit you, including your own, and voices that want to help you grow. So in the end, it's about, you know, it doesn't mean you wake up one day and go, ah, that's it, I want to be a doctor. It's just, you know, there's just different things in you that you have to really give yourself permission to play with. Mm-hmm. You may be good at something, but that doesn't mean that that's what you're supposed to do for the rest of your life. I was a reporter. I won awards. They were always second place. They were never first. That was okay. It made me average. Mm-hmm. You know, and people, a lot of people said, Dolene, you're making a mistake. You were so good at it. And I would say, I'm not making a mistake. I don't want to be here anymore. I followed my heart and my intuition. I stopped listening to everyone else outside of me. That's where you find your passion.
That is so interesting, because I knew when I was younger that I had something in me. I knew that there was this passion for women, I guess along the lines of what I was thinking about that I wanted to do. You know, a lot of people don't see money where there's mission work or doing some kind of nonprofit work. There's just not a lot of money there. So I don't even know if I had just listened to my intuition all along, you know, right from the beginning, where would I be compared to now after, you know, going to school twice and majoring in stuff that really didn't take me to fulfill my purpose, to provide me with the tools to fulfill my purpose. So I just kind of wonder, you know, if I didn't waste so much time, where would I be?
Who told you wasted time?
Well, I feel like I wasted time.
You never waste time. Every single action, everything you do in your life is part of what you're supposed to be doing that will lead you to where you're supposed to be. Never think you've wasted time. It has helped you grow in ways you can't even begin to imagine. It's part of your journey. And here's the thing that a lot of people don't understand. This journey that you're on, this place that you're trying to get to, you don't get to call the shots on it. There's something greater that has a design for you and is trying to show you how to follow that design so that what you do does fill the greater good. I spent 10 years as a reporter. I would never say I wasted my time, because it taught me how to have conversations with people. It taught me how to shoot and edit video, which is really handy when you're an entrepreneur and you've got your own, I have my own video series. I can shoot my own talks. So everything you do feeds who you are and will help you grow. Everything you're doing right now, including this conversation and anybody else that's hearing it, is going to shift you in a way that's going to take you to the next place you're supposed to be. So if you think you're wasting time, take a deep breath. You're not. It's part of the plan.
Well, I really appreciate that. I probably needed that more than you think.
I understand. I used to think the same thing. We want to rush to a destination so we can stab our flag into the ground and say, I have conquered this. I have arrived. This is what I've always wanted. But then what? Then everyone applauds for you, and then they all walk away, and then Alicia's still standing there with her flag going, oh, that's it? Don't tell me. I mean, our growth isn't about destination. It's really about the flourishing within. Every single one of us, even though we have these talents and desires we want to embrace and play with, the idea is that when we do, they serve the world for a greater good. So my work as a coach and a speaker isn't just so I can get paid. It's because I'm serving people for the greater good, and I'm helping them fix their words and show up in front of people so they can share the message. We become conduits of information for other people. We help them grow into a better space. That's essentially what I do. And when I can show up in front of someone and show them, you know, listen, if there's something inside you that's even stirring, play with it. I don't care what it looks like. If that means you've got to take a week off and go somewhere, do it. If that means you've got to get on a plane and fly across the country to experience something, do it. Anytime the opportunity shows up and it tickles you, do it.
And I can definitely hear in your voice that you have a lot of passion. As far as just like your passion and your values for your life, what does that stem from? What are your values?
I value patience because I suck at patience. I'm a very, very patient husband, so but I value patience because I recognize it's key. Well, with anything.
But it's certainly key as you grow as a businesswoman or an entrepreneur. Because, again, things aren't going to unfold the way you expect, you know, and certainly not on your timeline either. You know, I remember the first time I ever attempted to put a group together to do a group coaching call. I had the date figured out. I had everything figured out. I had to recruit everybody to get them in there. And I knew how to do that. And this was the first time in my coaching career trying to sell my services I hit a wall. One person I got. And I called my coach. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to launch this group coaching. I've got one person in it. And he gave me such a simple solution. And I realized I was freaking out over nothing. So part of the growth and all of the patterns that we experience teach us that there are spaces to be calm and spaces to trust. And that's really what this entire journey about is about. It's about trust. Trusting the path. Trusting that whatever you're doing right now, like it or not, is supposed to be what you're doing. Trusting that it will continue to show up until you learn the lesson in it.
So why didn't you just quit with that one person?
I made a commitment to her. And it wasn't, that's what I mean, is like, it's not about the money. This woman needed my help. Mm. And I wanted to help her. And this was the area that I knew could help her. So the option that he gave me was give her a couple of one-on-one sessions and keep going out there and reaching out to people. So I actually coached her at no cost, one-on-one, while I recruited other people. And because of that lesson, I realized that I deeply wanted to hold on to her because I wanted to help her. All of a sudden, I got all these people in my group coaching because I changed my mindset. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, she got additional coaching that she needed. You know, so it's understanding that the process that you're moving through, you're here to serve others. Man, this isn't about you.
Right.
I know that you have to show up and pay the bills. Don't get me wrong. I'm in the same boat. No one handed me a thing. I did this all by my big girl self. Well, that's not true. I had lots of help. I just kept going. I made the decision and I kept going. If you give up, just understand that you've given up way too soon. It doesn't mean you're a loser. It just means you stopped. You can pick up and you can keep going.
I love that. And I really do hope that a lot of mothers take that from someone else's point of view, because I do say that a lot on Facebook. Don't give up. Don't quit. You have to keep going. But, you know, they may have heard my voice, you know, many times that it's just like I'm a sister or something to them, where it's like, okay, you're just Alicia. So it does sound good coming from somebody else.
I have an 11-year-old daughter that I'm able to give so much more of my time to because I stayed the course of building my own life. And she gets to see this. She gets to see that, oh, my gosh, I have choices, Mom. Oh, my gosh, I can do this.
Do you think she's going to do anything as far as being an entrepreneur?
I think she's going to do exactly what her heart calls her to do, and that's all I can ask for. Because, you know, when she pays attention to my work, she's been at some of my events. She's heard me on coaching calls. She's been around me for years, you know, so she understands it. The bottom line is, if it lights her up, play with it, you know, and if she decides 2 or 3 years into doing something that she doesn't like it, she can sniff around and do something else and still dabble with something else. It's not about reaching a destination by finding the perfect job or the perfect passion. It's about enjoying the ride as you discover how you want it to look. Because you get to call the shot.
You know, I am really excited about this next generation that is coming up, the generation that your daughter is in, the generation that my son, he's 2 years old, that he's in. Because growing up in my generation, you know, it was very structured and, you know, after you graduate high school, go to college, after college, get a job, after job, you know, save money, and hopefully you can retire, and then go back to work. But now with, like, your daughter's generation and my son's generation, they, I think, now have a more open mind to just everything around them. There's so much technology. There's so many small businesses. It's like it's a completely different world than when I was growing up.
Right, yeah, and it's a beautiful thing. And so, I mean, I'm grateful for it. It's our next generation is going to see it's moving. It's just running your own life, calling your shots. There'll always be those little side jobs that we need to take or do for whatever reason, and the world will continue to move around no matter how we structure it. The bottom line is, as far as we remember, we get one shot. You know, I know sometimes people believe in multiple lifetimes, but you only really remember what you're doing in this life. You get one shot. You need to make you really need to make it a party. You want to have as many smiles as possible, as many opportunities as possible. I personally want financial abundance so I can just experience things nonstop with the people I love. That's how I want to live my life. And at the same time, I'm still writing, I'm still speaking, I'm still coaching, and I'm growing every single day. And I have goals too, you know, and they're bigger than that. And I'll just keep moving and enjoying every day.
That's good. We know you're going to keep going, but is there anything that you fear? Do you have something that you might be afraid of from time to time?
Oh, sure, yeah, that I'm like a fool to be pursuing something, or it's a pipe dream, you know, like we all have those thoughts. I'm too old. It's too late. You know, this isn't for me. It's not going to work. But I've learned to really train my mind to be in the place that I've made a lot of things happen throughout my life that only happened because I kept my eye on the prize. So I know it works. You know what I mean? It's not BS. It's something that works. When you make a decision and you go after it, you get what you want. And one of the things that I'm doing right now is I want to be a published playwright. And it could take several years for that to happen. It's a process. But I don't wake up one day and decide because fireworks aren't happening that I'm going to give up. I keep going and get what I want.
And I think it's definitely different if it's something that you do have that deep desire for. Because, like, you know, back in the day when I was doing different kind of sales gigs or something, I would want to give up a lot easier because my heart wasn't in it. I didn't have a real interest in it. So since it's actually something that you feel like it just feels right, it gives you that push to want to, you know, make it happen. You want to reach that end goal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got to have fire for it. You know, and it can be tough, believe, and I've been there where you realize you're in a situation and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't really love this. And that's scary. That's what happened to me. After spending 10 years in news, I thought, I don't love this. And that was huge because literally all of a sudden you're standing in an empty field going, well, now what? Now what do I do? Now what? You know, so I went through years of, you know, that pain of not knowing where to land. And you know what? I truly believe it never really goes away. You know, you're always going to question a little bit if you're worth something or if you're worth doing something. I've heard some of the greatest actors or singers say, I always feel like such a fraud when I'm out there, but people keep buying my records. You know, so they even have that doubt, too. It's like, really? They just can't believe it.
Yeah. All right. So there are so many people that seem to be getting into the speaking world, whether it's motivational speaking or educational speaking, where they're providing some kind of lesson, teaching somebody how to do something. So what kind of tools are there other than Toastmasters? Because I'm sure, well, I know all about Toastmasters, but other than Toastmasters, what else can someone do to kind of advance their speaking skills?
You know what? I watched YouTube, and I just, if I had an opportunity to stand up in front of somebody for any reason, I took it. So, I mean, I know a lot of people do Toastmasters. I never stepped in a Toastmasters room in my life. I couldn't even tell you what a meeting was like. Oh, wow. I was, you know, I just paid attention to other people. I watched what they did. I mean, are you familiar with Les Brown?
Yes.
Les Brown was one of my very, very, very first mentors that got into my ear. And if anybody out there knows him or knows his story, he's considered one of the number one motivators in our world today. He tells a story about how he wanted to be a radio DJ. And he kept showing up at this radio station and asking for a job, and the news director kept kicking him off the doorstep. And Les Brown kept showing up every day asking for a job. And finally, the news director let him in and said, you can mop the floors. Just don't talk to the DJs. Leave them alone. Like they had the celebrity status back then, you know? And he took the job, but he watched those DJs in the booth. I think the way he described it, he has a book. This was years ago. So this memory is serving me maybe not that well. But he would watch them from the booth, so he learned how to use the equipment.
And the story he tells is that, actually it's called Live Your Dreams is the name of the book, and there's an audio too, Live Your Dreams, and he tells the story. But he would watch these DJs for months and months and months, and then one day one of the DJs didn't show up because he was drunk. And so Les called the news director, and the news director said, just put it on autopilot, I'll be there, don't touch a thing. Well, what do you think he did? He went in and everything. He stepped in. He turned the microphone on. He had been practicing in his room for night upon night, his spiel and his DJ name and everything. And the news director is hearing his voice. That is downtown Les Brown, or however he did it. As he's driving to the station, he's hearing this guy that kept knocking on the door that wouldn't go away, and he's blown away. So it's perseverance every time. You can tell yourself that you can't make it for one reason or another, but if you want it, there's always, always a way.
That is so true and so key. So did you have any key lessons learned on your journey that you wouldn't do again?
No, I never knew what I was getting into sometimes, so I can't say that I would never do that again. I mean, I've spent a lot of money on marketing campaigns, for example, that totally fell apart on me. But I would never say I'm never going to do that again, because I have to spend it to make it, and I have to learn.
Right.
Lessons come pretty and joyful and bright, and lessons come dark and scary.
Oh, yeah.
So you just heard from the lovely Jolene Moody. And as you can see, technology tried to stop me. It tried to get the best of me by cutting out the end of this conversation between Jolene and myself. But when unforeseen events come your way, when obstacles try to stop you, you have to keep rolling through the punches. And you can't just give up just because one thing didn't go your way, just because something went unplanned. As Jolene had said, if you want something bad enough, you have to go out there and get it. And if it's something that is worth fighting for, you better put your boxing gloves on, because you're going to be fighting the whole way. So don't forget to connect with Jolene, and all of her information will be in the show notes. I just want you to remember that you are a radiant mother. So radiate your light and let it shine.